The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "But I say to you that, listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do unto others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners and receive as much again, But love your enemy, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
You may be seated. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Before we even begin to speak about judgment and forgiveness and all that stuff, I think we need to go back a bit to the story in our first reading. Jumping into the story where we are and not remembering the greater story doesn't give today's story any justice and can really come across as no big deal. And to actually understand the depths of this story, you really need to start with the birth of Jacob, Joseph's father. But that means going and reading 20 chapters because Jacob's story is that long. And I'm not going to do that. So we're just going to cover Job. And I'll try to make it short. Joseph was the 11th out of 12 sons of Jacob. He was also considered the firstborn of two. Joseph is the oldest son of Jacob and his second wife, Rebekah. We read how Joseph from birth is Jacob's favorite son because he reminds Jacob of Rebekah. Jacob doesn't hide those feelings of the favorite, and really Joseph doesn't hide it either. He lives into that. He doesn't push that away. Over the years, the older brothers become jealous of Joseph, and really, who wouldn't? They've been watching their father lavish Joseph with whatever Joseph wants, and he also gets stuff he didn't realize he would want. This went on for some time, and the older brothers have had enough. They plot to kill 17-year-old Joseph. Then they come to their senses. That's not really a good idea, is it? So they decide to sell their brother into slavery. Much better, right? Involved in human trafficking.
Then they go back home and they move on with their life. And yet Joseph gets to look forward to a life of slavery. He gets accused of rape and is thrown into prison with a possibility, the good possibility of death. Eventually, skipping a bunch of chapters, a famine comes to the land of Canaan, and Jacob and his sons are starving. They need help, and they hear Egypt has food, and so Jacob sends the sons to Pharaoh. The brothers never suspected they would run into Joseph, and why would they? Because he's dead to them. And they were fine with it. This is where we have our first reading. The brothers stand before this man, not realizing it was Joseph, the brother who they desired to kill, then threw him in a pit, because then they wouldn't have blood on their hands, a pit where he would starve to death. And then decide to sell them, because we all know that money is so much more important than family relationships, right? Brothers who never seem to regret what happened in the past, but they might now be second-guessing their decisions. Imagine how that must have felt for Joseph. To be betrayed and abandoned, sold by your older siblings. I mean, if your older siblings don't have your back, who can you trust? What is life without your family? Especially them knowing that you're dead, at least to them. And now they stand before Joseph, and Joseph is the one with all the power. It would be easy for Joseph to make them suffer just a little bit before calling it even. And really, who would blame Joseph for that? Because these brothers need to understand how much they hurt Joseph, right? But Joseph's reaction is a shock. And it should be today as well. I was listening to a text study this week, and one of the professors leading this text study commented that he's not so sure if you would see this story happen today in 2025, at least in most of America, because forgiveness is never really forgiveness. It usually comes with conditions, and sometimes a threat like, I'll forgive, but I certainly won't forget. Because that's really not forgiveness. If you hold on to that memory and not forget. I mean, really, if you loan somebody $50 and they never pay it back, and you tell them, you know what, you're forgiven. Let's just not let this happen again. Everything's fine. But the next time they come for a loan, you hesitate. Because you remember what happened last time. That right there is not true forgiveness. And that is why this professor in the podcast was struggling to believe this story could happen today with the same outcome. That's why we should think hard about this as well. My guess is Jesus wasn't so sure about our ability to forgive back then either. I can just see it. He stands before his disciples. Remember last week was the Luke's version of the Beatitudes. But he stands before his disciples and he recognizes all of those who are struggling and he calls out the oppressors. And the people get wound up because this isn't fair. And they're ready to go after the rich and the powerful. And they pick up their swords and they turn to Jesus and they wait for Jesus to give them the go ahead. Give us the sign, Jesus. Ready, set, go. Like, we're ready to go. And Jesus says, that's great, but just wait a minute. Listen to something else. And so they're ready. And then they hear Jesus say, if anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. I imagine the people before him, like, wait, what? Wait, but you, what? Totally dumbfounded and uncertain about what to do next. How are they to change the world, to right the wrongs with these sort of instructions? How quick are we to follow this commandment of Jesus? It seems to go against everything that we know and all that we see. We say, do unto others, and we expect people to treat us with that saying, but the other way? Truth is, I stink of this. I still have resentment over the people who bullied me as a kid. I struggle with those who like to tell me what to do, or to talk down to me because maybe I'm too young in their eyes, or too old in their eyes, or because I'm a woman. I struggle with people who hurt others. And how am I supposed to turn the other cheek? And you're saying to give them my shirt too? Doesn't Jesus say something, anything about vengeance, please? No? Jesus spoke to the people, speaks to us these words, and knows that we will forever struggle with it. We can't do it. That, brothers and sisters, is why there is a cross and a Savior and a resurrection and a whole lot of grace. We can't, but Jesus can and does over and over and over again. Because unending forgiveness and the ability to truly forgive and forget can only come from God. It is what makes grace so beautiful and so what the world needs. And Joseph kissed all of his brothers and wept upon them. Jesus says, love your enemy, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. Do not judge, do not condemn, forgive and give. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I think about those people standing before Jesus, hearing these words and wondering how these words will make the world right again. And I pause, and I read these words again with a loving heart, and I realize this is exactly what the whole world needs to be made whole. Love, forgiveness, and a whole lot of grace. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we know that forgiveness is so difficult, especially when we are hurt. Please come to us and soften our hearts and to begin to see everyone in front of us as beloved children of God, for that is who they are, and that is who we are. Amen.